bought salt from them. We haven't bought salt from Cargo in 15 years. They haven't bid onto it. And the other company bid onto it, but they didn't. When we rebid it, they didn't bid.
American, is that American?
American didn't bid the second time around.
How did their bid compare to what's on here? Are they out of salt or not?
Cargo was short last year. I don't know how. Cargo ran into a problem at the end of the year because the vein they were working on went dry. And they didn't realize it, so they cut everybody off early. Everybody was cut off from salt early last year, including us. So it was such a tremendous winter. But this was right around where American Salt's bid was the first time around. Normally, American Salt's been our only bidder for years. But since we went to this new bidding system, we only got two this time. And the other bid we got was only for
regular
salt, not for the...
I was going to say Morton is slightly less than American. So, yeah, got the lowest bid.
Yeah. Okay. I'm just looking at the way they're bidding or the companies that don't go on it.
Yep. Through the PED bid, we only had two bidders.
Eastern and Cargo responded to say that they were doing a no bid.
Yeah, Ag Salt, I don't know who they are.
No, it was one thing that came in that when Sean and Randy had in the paper that Penn bid wrote to her to change it, that you can't take bids at the office. They have to go through Penn bid. And being it's a private owned company, that concerns me. I don't want to see anybody lose the chance to bid it because right. They don't want to be part of Penn bid.
Right. Okay, the next one is the bid opening for the parking lot paving. We got five bids on the parking lot. And I'll take you through them. One of them is Industrial Incorporated, doing business as Barker & Barker. Their bid was $227,193. The next bid was H&K Group Incorporated at $224,666.53. The third bidder was Northeast Site Contractors at $310,409.25. The fourth bidder was Precision Paving Group at $274,705.64. And the fifth bidder was Waco Incorporated at $178,664.27. So at this time, I'd like to make a motion that we accept Waco's bid of $178,664.27, pending approval of our engineer.
I'll second that.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. So passed. The third one is the purchase of a plow for our Dodge Ram 550. 2 or 3 months ago, we had put in the buy plow. We approved the purchase of a plow. The only problem is the company we plow sales and service forgot to include the wire harness and a couple other things onto it. So that raised the price of $2,100 to $8,500. They are not going to charge us any labor to mount this plow because it was their mistake. So at this time, I'd like to make a motion. We purchased the plow at $8,500 from Powell's. We've dealt with Powell's before.
Second.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 So passed. Thank you. Okay, I have nothing else under Roadmaster's report. So we'll move on to zoning.
I didn't receive any new permits after the last meeting.
Okay, public participation.
Can I bring up the AutoZone?
Yes.
Of course.
You need to come here, your name.
To the mic.
To the mic.
That way Bill can hear you.
Your name and address.
Allison Melstein, 4D Milford Town, Green Lane. We came to the original meetings with the AutoZone, and at one of the meetings when the representative from AutoZone was here, an arborist from Sequoia was here, Ms. Rosato was on the video camera, it was my belief that the trees from the road all the way back, the white pines that border our property, were going to be removed. The trees in the back have been removed. The trees in the front are still there. They still pose a danger. And when I went and asked one of the gentlemen doing the construction, at some point were they going to take those trees down? And he talked to the site supervisor and he said no, but he showed me where piping was going to run for drainage right next to the trees that are still standing. I don't know if that's going to be buried or not. If it's buried, you're digging into tree roots of already compromised trees. So I don't know if I was misunderstood in the meeting, but I don't know why the rest of those trees in the front have not been removed.
They weren't removing all of them. They were removing the ones that were going to be flagged by the arborist.
Because I thought it was from...
And some other ones that they said could cause a problem. But that is what Carmen told us in the beginning. So whether the back was done by Rosato and they paid to have it done, I don't know.
Because the back's been done, but I just didn't know why the front had not been done.
Because he had said most of those were coming down.
Because one of them, half of it came down on our property before this even occurred.
Make a note of that and check with Carmen on it.
Thank you for bringing it to our...
Thank you for bringing it up.
Hi, my name is Henry Mocko, M-O-C-K-O. I live at 5C Milford Town Green Lane. It's a townhouse and it borders the property with AutoZone. And I'm here because the marsh has brought to my attention, I also saw it, that there's trees leaning on our houses, and that's an issue. The second thing is that I've been awakened at 6 a.m. in the morning by construction, by the construction crew, and that's not nice to do that to us, to wake us up at that hour. So I think they're breaking the law or something like that.
What time is this happening?
6 o'clock. It was 2 days. And it could have been 3 because I was out. But I just think that in the first meeting I was here, I complained about the dumpster at Dollar General. They would empty it at 5:45 every Thursday morning. But this AutoZone construction is creating a problem also. And I think they're deliberate. Look at the clause and see if we can remove their application. They don't deserve to be here because they don't care about us. We don't, so we care about our property. So I just want to voice my opinion that they shouldn't be here. They're not doing a good job and they're not sincere with us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Council's not here this evening. I don't believe that we can cancel somebody's application
No.
for something like that. However, we can have the zoning officer look at the time of day they're starting construction, because if memory serves me right, we gave them a 7 a.m. start time. They're not allowed to start before 7 with construction, and we gave them, I think, certain days of the week so that they're not, I want to say that we gave them Monday through Saturday, and they're not allowed to do construction on Sunday or holidays.
Right.
That's my memory.
They're good. They're not doing any work Saturday or Sunday or holidays. And I know I asked for the take their application away. I know you said it's not possible, but there should be some penalty. That what they did was rude, and it disturbed us deeply. And we're not showing our motion tonight, but we had a motion the other night. So thank you for listening, and I appreciate it.
You would have to go to court on any penalties.
I'll go to court and apply. And
testify.
To testify.
Right.
Okay.
But the zoning officer will likely have to sort of catch them doing...
He would have to give them a warning,
right.
And you would have to be a witness that the violation is occurring at 6 a.m.
Okay.
And if it comes to a court hearing, you would have to testify to that.
Okay. How does that start?
We're going to notify the zoning officer and have him talk to him.
Okay, thank you.
I believe part of the conditions of the approval were that the arborist was going to give a written report as to what was going to be taken out.
Yes.
Yes.
So I think that that should be reviewed to clarify what. I believe that that's, that went between the planning commission to the board of supervisors. So I believe there should have been a written. I don't know, did Mr. Foley, did you see anything?
I have not seen a.
Okay, but I think that there should be a written report from the arborist.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Anybody else? Public?
Good evening. I'm Margaret Harris, and I live at 5D Milford Town Green Lane. I'm the first unit on the right as you drive into the community. The purpose of my being here is to get clarification again, because I thought, simply put, the bad trees would have been taken out. And many of the trees right next to the fence, where our shared border is, were taken down at the other end. Huge trees right next to the fence. And then my unit, behind my unit, not one of the hazardous trees was taken down. And I find it hard to believe that a certified, licensed arborist wouldn't find one of those trees hazardous. It was my property that huge tree fell on 2021. It was so huge, it blocked the only entrance and exit to Milford Town Green Community, 3 inches from the electric box for the community. Without going over all of the many letters that the community sent and 5 for myself, certified about the hazardous trees, I don't need to do that again. You've heard the story. I was here at the other meetings. And it was my thought that I heard correctly that the trees that were hazardous along the shared border would have been taken down. And for some reason, my unit was excluded. Now, it's not just the trees. It's the fact that I don't know how to say it, except I'm sincere in feeling not safe when the tree that was so huge fell right next to me and was in fact left up there, half split for a month before the other half suddenly fell on the owner's property. But the owner's tree on the 2021 was clearly on his side of the fence. I have documents, I have letters, I have pictures. They could be available to you, but why do that when you could walk outside tonight and see it? The trees are still there, and I thought the certified licensed arborist would have found, like I said, more than one tree that was hazardous. And I never saw any results from a certified arborist. Fran was here from Sequoia,
yes,
at the last meeting, and he said a bit about that property because he's seen it. So I thought it's timely, because now that the buildings are down, it's easier for equipment to get in there. And that would have been a problem before with the two houses, you know, the blue house and the white house. But now that it's clear, it's advantageous, I think, to do that work as soon as possible before construction begins.
But they're supposed to.
Well, look, that's...
As far as I remember at the planning level, most of those trees behind the AutoZone were coming down.
Yep.
And that would include almost everything behind your house, because they don't want them there either. And there was talks between the property owner and AutoZone as to who's responsible for what trees, and the arborist that came in was hired by Rosato. So they might have did the back first. I don't believe they would build the building and then take trees down. because they haven't touched anything in the front yet. But well, we'll bring that up to the zoning officer and have them get in contact with Carmen.
Because I talked to the gentleman I talked to went to his supervisor in the construction, and he said no, those trees were not coming down.
That he may not know.
Okay.
Carmen said they were coming down. He's the general engineer on the whole project.
So
he's the one that needs to be spoken with to find out what's going on.
Clarification on that would be great.
I appreciate that.
And essentially, if one contractor is doing a certain scope of work and that work has to do with the construction, has nothing to do with the trees, they might have absolutely no information about the trees.
Right.
Because it's outside of what they would be involved in.
Right.
Are the trees in question all on their property or are they on
yes.
their property?
Yes.
All on their property.
And it's documented. There are pictures.
Okay, we will follow up on it post-haste, because the other thing I recall Fran saying was that when you took the buildings out, you were going to change the wind envelope and that it would be easier for trees to be toppled over by the, because the wind would pick up more speed coming through there. So
that was another issue. I remember him saying that.
Yep.
And in addition, the trees weren't even trimmed. The limbs from the trees on the owner's property are over my roof, well over my roof, inches from the chimney, and many, many limbs. It's not a few, and they're big. You don't want to get hit by one sitting on my porch. So thank you for listening.
But generally, in those cases, just so you know, they'll tell you, you have a right to hire somebody to cut the limbs on your side of the property.
Well, the bigger issue...
I'm just saying that's generally how it turns
out. How it goes?
Yeah.
The bigger issue is the condition of the rotted trees. Some of them are dead. And you can't tell from looking at a tree on the outside unless you're knowledgeable what the condition of that tree actually is. But the tree that fell looked just like the other ones.
We'll be following up on this and getting in touch with them to see what their game plan is. They might have been waiting until they clean the site up so the trees can come over and they can just cut them up with nothing in the way.
Well, it's good that we're here tonight because those buildings are down and it's relatively clear to get in. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for coming.
Anybody else on public participation?
Well, I just want to know, when I go to the courthouse, what should I say is the plaintiff or whatever the term is?
For what?
It wouldn't be you. The zoning officer would file a complaint that would go to the magistrate.
Okay.
If it gets to the point of them needing to be fined.
Okay.
So as Gary said, they issue a warning first.
Okay.
And then they give them, let's say, 30 days to cure how many days that they can't do this anymore. If it happens again, then the zoning officer can file to have them fined in court. And that is when the zoning officer would require you to come in to testify whenever it goes before the magistrate.
Thank you. And that's the courthouse down the road, right?
If you need. No, it's the magistrate's office.
The magistrate's office.
Right.
Yeah. Thank you so much for your...
If needed.
I appreciate everything you're doing. Thank you so much.
Are they still coming there at 6 a.m. or...
I'm sorry?
Are they coming there at 6 o'clock every morning?
No, just 2 days so far, but I was out the next day. I was somewhere else.
Well, they worked there all last week.
They did. It was like a Wednesday, Thursday of last week.
Now, how about this morning?
Nothing yet.
Okay.
Because I think one of our associate neighbors, they're not here tonight, but they went over to the trailer, and they told them about the noise at 6 a.m.
Document it.
Yeah. Okay.
Write it down on your calendar what time they started. If they started at 6 a.m., what day it was.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome, sir. Anything else under public participation? Now we'll have secretary's report.
Thank you. Pike County commissioners informed that they are inviting municipalities, schools, churches, nonprofit organizations, civic group businesses, first responders, veterans organizations, and community institutions throughout the Pike County to participate in the 300th anniversary time capsule for America. PennDOT wants to confirm our interest in continuing with the current municipal winter agreement contract They asked if we have any concerns. Mr. Mike Mrazinski sent information about Pennsylvania Route 6 facade program in Wayne and Pike Counties in the Pocono Mountain region. Up to $5,000 available with a 50-50 match requirement. And First Energy sent an update on Camp SCHI Hospital power outage restoration. And that's all.
Thank you, Sean.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Old business, zoning fees.
I went over everything with our present zoning officer again. He feels they're good fees, so I'll make a motion we pass them the way they're written.
I'll second that motion. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 What document are we going by when we say what they're...
The last one I wrote.
The last one I wrote.
So does that incorporate the changes that we talked about at the meeting as far as adding a fee for the planned unit commercial developments?
No, because it's in there.
It would just be covered under other at $100?
No. A planned development is going to be, each building has to come in for its own. So you can't overcharge on a fee for an application. If any one of them takes longer, then he charges the hourly rate above that. When the PUD first comes in, they get charged $600. And then if it takes longer time, he charges them by the hour.
I thought that was the last change that we had asked about, was to change that one for $600 because it was at $100 for other, and it wasn't on the list.
Well, if you go to $600, then the mom and pop guy that does something that's not on the list is going to be overpaying. So at $100, if it's a bigger project, again, it's going to get charged hourly for the reviews.
Understood. Thank you.
Okay, and a new business.
Did you call the question for vote?
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 So passed. Moving on to new business, anti-fraud training.
So we adopted a policy last year for fiscal control that included annual anti-fraud training for our employees. Staff had trouble finding the fraud training that PSATS told us is on their website, and PSATS has said they think maybe it timed out. So I went to find another resource we could use. I found a 16-minute video from the Massachusetts Inspector General that basically goes over what fraud is, and I think covers what the intent of the policy was. The only part that is not applicable is the last screen that tells you to contact the Massachusetts Inspector General if you encounter fraud, which obviously I think our employees would be able to follow our policy and know that it wouldn't be the Massachusetts Inspector General. But it meets the other needs of the policy to help educate employees on what constitutes fraud and their obligation not to be quiet if you encounter something that is fraud, but that another employee or another person is doing.
So what we're going to do, we're going to try and set up a class here for all our employees to come take this on a Thursday or sometime in September. We'll try and work that out so everybody can do it in one shot. Otherwise, we'll have to do it in little groups.
Very good.
You need this too, right?
Question.
Yeah, Bill.
Can that be posted on the website?
Sure.
I'd be interested in watching it. Thank you.
I'd be happy to send you the link, Bill.
Oh, thank you.
So don't forget.
Next on the list is the multimodal transportation fund application.
So
adoption of a resolution and request for state legislator support.
So we had previously approved filing the application,
yes.
But the resolution, the reason we didn't do the resolution in advance is we didn't have the whole application together to have the exact dollar amount, which they require to be in the resolution. You don't need to have it signed in advance of filing the application, but the analysts will come back to us and make sure that they get a copy of the signed one. So that's why it's on the agenda for today. I make a motion that we approve the resolution.
I'll second that motion.
And this is for the back road?
Yes.
Okay. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 So passed. You need this letter?
Yes. And the other part of the request on the agenda was to request support from our legislators. Thank you, folks. Have
Thank
a good
you.
Night.
Thank you.
This is something that comes before the CFA, so it does require some support by legislators to make sure that it makes it all the way home. So I'd like us to give a copy of the application and a letter requesting support to the our state legislature's office.
I don't need a motion for that.
I don't think so.
No.
Unless anyone else thinks we need a motion to request support from the legislator.
No.
Very good.
We'll take care of that, Sean.
Sure.
Of the letter or the application?
The application, then.
It's in the back.
Okay.
I think the office was supposed to send an email at the beginning of the week.
I just got back.
Understood. Thank you.
Anything else under public participation? Yes, Kevin.
Hey,
Bill.
Yeah, I mean, that link for the fraud thing.
Yes.
Maybe you could send that to the Minnesota AG, please. Thank you.
This just has to be signed by Shahana.
Okay. That's what I thought when I was looking at it. For.
Yeah.
Take care of side of that. Kevin.
Just a point of interest that I don't want to put Mr. Fuller on the spot, but we're going to have a meeting next Thursday, meeting the Planning Commission. And is there anything that Mr. Fuller wanted to discuss in reference to are we good for that meeting, John?
Yes.
Okay, is there anything that we need to discuss with the supervisors prior to that?
I don't think so. I mean, it's a work session, right?
It's a work session, yes.
So, yeah, I don't think we need to do that tonight.
Okay, all right. Thank you.
Thank you. If there's nothing else, I'll make a motion. We pay the bills. Wayne?
Multiple questions, but brief. What is the multimodal transportation fund? I know what that is. But what is it going toward?
It's a grant that we're looking to pave the old Milford Road.
You mean right out here?
The old Milford Road, yes.
Behind Econopac?
Behind Econopac.
Basically the whole length that the township has ownership.
Is there a cost estimate on that, or?
It's in here somewhere. Let's see, the total grant application request is for $279,980, which is the full cost of the road and street. And then we put the contingency as something we would do through liquid fuels, which is like if there's something comes up in the process of the construction and it ends up being more. And $500 that we estimate will be the bid advertisement cost that we put in as coming out of our general fund. They like it if there's at least something that's not entirely being requested of the state, but we did request a waiver of the match, which is another thing that was approved by the legislature this year that municipalities can ask for. So
you request a waiver for that?
A waiver of the match, yeah. Otherwise, it requires a 30% local match.
Understood. Okay. So that's the road behind the Econopac?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, I got that. The anti-fraud training, is there a company that supplies you with a program for that or information for that? Or?
Well, we thought PSATS was going to because they said that they had some, but we couldn't find it. So, indicated that they think it's in their system somewhere that it's no longer showing up on their website, and they're working on that. But in the interim, we'll use this one, and maybe they'll next year we'll have theirs available.
What company is this one?
This was put out by the Massachusetts Inspector General.
I'm sorry?
It's the Massachusetts Inspector General.
Massachusetts Inspector General, I'm sorry.
Yeah. And it's very broad. It doesn't need to be state specific.
Yeah, I saw something a while ago, an email about that specific program by name, Massachusetts. I remember what it was for, but it was basically on my email, but it was going out to townships more so, that idea. Okay. Anything new on the data center ordinance amendment, progress on that, or?
We
advertised it for September.
For public hearing?
For public hearing.
That's the next step, is public hearing.
When is that?
September
9th.
September 9th?
7:15.
So is your, at this point, is that draft completed then?
That draft was revised and sent back to the county for their 30-day review, which will be up before that September date.
Okay.
So we were supposed to do the preamble for the map, right?
There is a preamble on the map.
Yes.
That
yes.
language is on there. So I did email Mike and say to him, like, we're all confused because there's nothing that isn't here that was done the last time.
Right.
And he said, oh, if that's how you're doing it, okay, fine.
That was it.
Yeah.
Sounds so great.
I guess maybe when they looked at the map, they didn't notice the language in the corner. You know, it's easy to do that. Your eyes go right to the visual.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like in the corner.
Yeah.
It's right there.
Go ahead, Bill.
Quick question. I just kind of rolled around in my brain here. You're talking about a Conopac and the cookie factory. Did they ever cut in an emergency entrance in the back of the building?
Yes. No. Not in the building, but in the back road there is.
Oh, there is now. Okay.
It's always been there, but I've grown all up, and I see they just trimmed everything out. There's a new gate and everything up back there, too.
Okay. Thank you.
They were moving the location.
Huh?
They must have done that very recently.
Within the last